three R's. Readiness, recuperation, conditioning. You see, after the game, a lot of guys like to ice up their arm. Still other fellas think that heat is the way to go. But I have discovered the secret, Henry. Hot ice. That's right, hot ice. I heat up the ice cubes. It's the best of both worlds.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. Ha ha! Hey folks, how you doing? Will Koontz here, Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Good to be back with you. I hope you're well. I'm okay, as usual. Did you have a good Halloween? I'm trying to date this correctly by the time I record this and when it will actually air. Is Donald Trump president now? I think we have a few days before that happens. Halloween happened. I know that because I'm recording this after Halloween. Did you have a good Halloween? Did you do anything? I decided that I was going to go out for Halloween. I didn't really want to. I was working this past weekend, so I didn't get to go out and enjoy the festivities that Halloween weekend brings. And I love Halloween. Halloween is so much fun. I don't really dress up. I haven't done that in a long time. I used to, and then I got into ironic costumes, and then I was like, no, that's dumb, too. And now I just kind of enjoy other people's costumes. But I didn't get a chance to do that because I was working the weekend shift. So I wasn't able to go out and enjoy the downtown festivities. But Halloween was on a Monday this year, so I went ahead and made the decision to go out. No shots, though, right? That's what I said. I wasn't going to do shots. I was just going to have a couple drinks, hang out, be home by midnight. Nope, that didn't happen. That went out the window real quick. I went to the tavern, my local tavern that's right next to my apartment here for a few. And then met my friend Joe, who said asked if I was dressing up. And I said, I don't think so. And then he said, I have something for you, if you want. I said, all right. Turns out it was a dress, classic man in a dress. Hilarious, always gets a laugh wherever you go. So me and Joe both wore dresses, and Kenzie came with us, and our costume was, I guess, ugly chicks and the hot chick friend, the friend that hangs out with ugly chicks. I guess that's what we came up with. We didn't really have a theme, just kind of winged it on the fly. But we walked downtown, and my favorite part of the evening was as we're walking downtown, a group of teenagers were hanging out of the car, yelling, "That nasty! That nasty!" And I just said, yeah, you're right. I can't disagree with what you're saying right now. But honestly, it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. I don't think it looked that bad. I mean, I probably wouldn't do me, but I'm sure somebody out there would. But it was fun. I went out on Halloween, had a few drinks at the tavern, then went downtown, and the special that evening at Del Mar where I went was the Shot in the Wash, which is a shot of terrible whiskey. It was Thompson's. It wasn't that bad. It's still not brand name. You know, I like whiskey. A good Maker's Mark, psh, I'm in. Let's do it. But so it was a little cup of beer and a shot for $3. So after about four of those, I finally made it home, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something, and had to go about my day, regular work week, beginning of the week. So started off with a nice hangover. I don't know what it is, but I used to be able to do that no problem, and now it really takes a toll on me. Be 32 years old this month. It's already happening. I'm still a young man. I mean, I'm an old young man. I'm a geriatric young man. But it's definitely not going to get easier. And I could see myself within the next few years not drinking anymore because I just won't be able to handle the pain and the agony that comes with drinking. And can't do drugs anymore. First of all, I don't have any money, number one. But number two, that's just, you know, you got responsibilities now at this point. You can't be doing drugs, like hard drugs. I don't want to smoke pot anymore. I got accused of, I went and saw Mike Olivero, my boss at the radio station, because I guess I was drunk at an event. I mean, I wasn't working the event, but I was hanging out because I had nothing really better to do. So I went to the station event and kind of just drank, and I guess he snapped at me. I didn't notice. I was hammered. But I went in there and saw, he called me in, and I was worried I was going to get fired because he said, sent me an email saying, hey, come in when you can. You know, I just want to talk to you for a minute. Nothing bad, and I'm assuming I'm fired is automatically what came to my head. So I went in there, and he was like, hey, sorry for snapping at you. All right, no problem. And then he goes, what do you want to do here at the station? I said, well, frankly, I'd like to have a radio show, and yeah, that would be great. And then he goes, you know, I've listened to your podcast. It's not good. And I go, oh, really? You listen to it? And he went, no. So either he's lying that he didn't want to give me the satisfaction of saying that he listened to it, or he listened to it and then decided it stunk and then maybe felt bad that he told me it stunk. Believe me, Mike, I'm under no delusions here. I know I'm not particularly good at this, but I'm getting better. 10,000 hours, I'm about 9,890 hours away from being good at this. But day by day, you know, we'll keep it going. So I didn't get fired, which is good. And then Mike goes, yeah, I think you talk about pot on your show. And I'm like, no, I don't. And he's like, well, you sure? Because I heard. Now, James Bailey, who hosts my mom's favorite podcast, heard on hmbradio.com. Please subscribe and rate to that if you would. He's the pot guy. James is weird because he'll talk about it on his show, but if I mention it out loud to anyone, he freaks out and is like, well, I don't want anybody knowing that. You have a show that's based on that, where you smoke pot and talk to people. But, yeah, I don't know what his deal is. I think he's just trying to, I don't know what he's trying to do. It's dumb. I don't think he thinks it through all the way. But, yeah, you can get this show, the homemade broadcast, the HMB sides, which are only heard on HMBradio.com, as well as my mom's favorite podcast by comedian James Bailey. So like the Facebook page, too, while you're there, Facebook.com/HMBradio. Twitter is home_made_man. And same thing with Instagram, and like the Radio St. Pete page too, while you're on Facebook, just Radio St. Pete, all one word, Radio STPETE. Got over 4 years of programming that you can find in the archives at Radio St. Pete and a lot of interesting shows. I know Dean Logan, Job Talk, just had, the president of the Tampa Bay Rays organization on his show. So that's really cool. I'm actually going to tune in to that one and listen to that one. So lots of programming on there that is free to listen to. And, you know, we're trying to really cover the local scene. So if you love Tampa Bay, RadioSt.Pete.com is the place for you. And while this podcast is semi-brought to you by RadioSt.Pete.com, it is also brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg, slybar.com. Their Facebook is Slybar St. Pete. And they have a Twitter too. I think it's Slybar St. Pete, 2061 Central Avenue. Go in there. They got trivia on Wednesday nights, which is always a lot of fun. They got a new kitchen with some great food. So go in there and check that out. And also brought to you by Truvi Salon and Spa. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, here in St. Petersburg. Call and make an appointment, 727-329-9751. Chrissy Parker down there, Truvy Salon and Spa. Be in the description on the podcast if you want any info. I tell these, my two sponsors that I have, write me something to read. Like, if you got specials or something going on, let me know. And they never do it, which is a relief to me, but I almost feel like I'm shortchanging them or something. So maybe you want to become, maybe you have a local business and you want to become a sponsor of the Homemade Broadcast. That's great. I encourage you to do that. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, or you can leave me a voicemail at 813-693-2124. Text message too there. And that's open. That's just our general line. So any questions, concerns, if you also want to tell me how bad I suck, but also don't want to admit that you listen to it, that would be the place to do it. So we had Halloween. We got the election coming up in 2 days. I dropped off my ballot. I filled it out weeks ago. I dropped it off today. I had to walk past the right down here on 5th and 1st Avenue North is where you drop it off at in St. Pete. And I had to walk through the gauntlet. I wish I would have walked on the other side of the street, but it's, you know, candidates that are running. And they had the one guy who's a Republican right on one side of the sidewalks and then the Democrats right on the other side. And the guy introduced himself. I can't pronounce his last name. His name's JB, though. I think he's the Republican running for a state Senate seat, I believe. And hi, I'm JB. Here you go. I'm running for this. Oh, thanks. And then the Democrats came over. Hey, can I give you this, too? This is how you vote Democrat, straight ticket. This looks like it'd be useful to you. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. And I should have probably just said, oh, done. You're wasting this. Keep it and use it on somebody who might be able to use it. But I just wanted to talk to them as little as possible, just get through the gauntlet. So I gladly took their stuff, threw it away. As soon as I walked in the door, put my little ballot into the box. Easy as that. If you're not voting by mail, you're really missing out. No lines. You don't have to deal with the computers. Now you still have to deal with the computers who are counting. And you have to put some faith in that, I guess. There was just a story I saw in Miami-Dade that some people got busted switching votes. So we'll see. We'll see. And we'll see who our next president of the United States is going to be. Is it going to be the blubbering ass or the confirmed criminal? We shall see what is in store for our country. My God. It's going to be over. I won't have much to talk about anymore. This has been the focus of conversation on this show for, I don't know, months, really. That's all but maybe now I'll be able to focus on other things that maybe will catch my interest. So, oh, maybe the Cubs won the World Series. I'm actually recording this the day of Game 7. So maybe the Cubs. Hey, either way, you get the Cubs, you got the Indians, both haven't won. Cubs, 1908, Indians, 1945, I believe. Either way, good story. Long drought for those teams. If Cleveland wins another major championship in, 2 years consecutively, the Cavs won last year, right? And then if the Indians win this one, and then Donald Trump becomes president, I don't know what the third horse of the apocalypse is, but it's got to be something. That's going to be insane for Cleveland. The city will just implode immediately. They're just like, that's it. We're cashing it in. And everyone will dump their gas cans out in the front yard and light a match and just blow up the whole city. So good luck. I'm kind of rooting for the Cubs, I guess, just because 1908, long time. I played the Rookie of the Year clip, one of my favorite movies, kids' movies of all time that I would still watch. And I think I would get a lot of enjoyment out of it. So I guess I'm rooting for the Cubs. Joe Maddon was the manager here in Tampa for a long time, did a great job, turned our organization around, and then left for greener pastures. By that, I mean more money, and turned the Cubs around. I guess the Cubs weren't bad, but they weren't really, I don't think they were making the playoffs. And really took them 2 years, got them to the World Series. So Joe Madden's legit, man. He still has a lot of Tampa ties. He's got the restaurant here. He's got a lot of foundations that he works with around the Tampa area. I think he's grateful. I think he genuinely is grateful to Tampa for the opportunity that the Rays organization gave him. And so I don't hold any ill will towards Papa Joe. But hopefully the Rays can turn it around in the offseason and we can get back to being competitive again. You know, Kevin Cash is the new guy in charge, young guy, players love him. And we'll see what he can do here in the near future. Definitely, I don't know what they got to do. Rays are bad. let's be real. Rays were not good last year at all. They couldn't pitch. They couldn't hit. They couldn't do just about anything. But the Bucks are mediocre. That's good. We got a game on Thursday night against the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think anybody's given the Bucks a shot to win, but they did beat them the second week of the season, first week of the season, and the game is at home. I don't know. I picked Atlanta in my pick'em pool, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm really bad at the pick'em pool. I joined this one where it's like 70 people or something, and it pays out weekly, and I haven't even been. I think I got third place once, but only top takes it, and this past week, I was second to last in picks. So I have no strategy for that. My fantasy football team is kicking butt, though. I'm 6-2 now. Started off with two losses on the season. Just beat James Bailey, host of my mom's favorite podcast. So that was pretty exciting for me. It's marching along. Team's moving along. So, you know, I don't know if there's any fantasy football nerds out there, but doing pretty good. So it could be $100 for me in February as champion. All right, so this week on the show, we have a man. He's an author, he's an actor, he's a comedian. I was reading his quick bio, kind of glancing over it not too long ago. His name is Dr. J.M. Chamberlain. He has a book out right now called I'm Okay, You're a Pain in the Ass, A Love Story. So we're going to have him in here. Tell me about the book, tell us about the book, tell us about his life, his career, and all that good stuff. So, we're going to take a brief pause. You won't know, though. We're going to jump right back into it, but we'll be right back in 1.5 seconds with J.M. Chamberlain.
Well, I can say the name of the book, right?
Of course, yeah. J.M. Chamberlain, welcome.
Right, nice to see you. How are you?
You too. Oh, you're British.
Yes,
I had no idea.
No, really.
You have a really great American accent when you walk in.
I know. I do it. It's, you know, it's our full back and forth to it. You know, so I'm working on. Actually, I'm working on a strong Brooklynese. How's this sound? Hey, yo, what's happening? How you doing? Nice to see you. Glad to see you. Hey, Will, what's happening? It works, doesn't it?
A little bit. Now it's back into British.
No, right.
This is one thing I would like to get better at. For my comedy repertoire, impressions.
Oh, you're doing impressions?
I can't.
Oh.
I'm unable. They say you can learn, but I don't really buy it. I think it's a gift that you're born with.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
I can do a nice Jamaican accent, but that's about it. And it's not even good.
No.
It's just the best that I can do.
All right. Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't want to hear it.
I don't blame you. I'm not going to do it. I used to go to USF, and there was this Jamaican girl in my class. So every time she would come in, I go, "Hey, man!"
Hey, man.
And she got a big kick out of it every time. But then she goes, "Hey, if you ever go to Jamaica,
don't
do that."
Do it,
just
right.
So you know. I'm like, "Why?" They're like, "They'll kill you." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Good to know.
Good to know." Yes,
Jamaicans have a great sense
right.
of humor. That's nice. That's nice. So you're a doctor, I see?
You know, actually, me mom, she put an honorary title on me, you know, as a doctor.
Your first name's doctor.
She called me the doctor of comedy. My mother was always saying, "Oi, my son, he's such a funny boy. Oi, the doctor of comedy." And I'd say, "Mom, why are you talking that way? We're Italian."
I was going to say, is that German or Jewish? I couldn't tell.
German-Jewish.
German-Jew, there you go. So tell me about this book, I'm Okay, You're a Pain in the Ass, A Love Story.
Right. It's a compilation of autobiographical essays laced with wicked concepts, cheap shots, a few bright ideas, you know. It's kind of fun, a little bit for everybody, you know.
So is it kind of like a chronicle of short stories, essays?
Essays. It's all essays, you know, and it's basically it talks talks about. I did stand up comedy. I'm not on the road right now, but I did stand up comedy for about 15 years.
Oh wow!
And my feet hurt.
I bet. Yeah, and walking all around the country.
Yeah. So I got off the road a while back and I started writing. So that's what I'm doing now. Yeah, so I think I'm going to talk like this for a while, though. Hey, yo, everything's cool. Right,
so tell me about comedy. When did you start? You started 15 years ago?
No, I started doing comedy in the late 80s in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, that was golden age, too.
Right. Mid-80s, late 80s. And then I moved to L.A. And I've been back and forth and around. And now I'm in sunny Florida. It's lovely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's lovely, isn't it?
I've never been anywhere. Well, I mean, I've been places on vacation, but I've never lived anywhere else.
No, this is really neat.
I can't stand the heat, though. I'm a little tired
of
it.
No, really? Oh, I love it.
I used to love it. Oh. Now I'm slipping into that. I need 72 for a high, 54
nice.
For a low.
Oh, well, you should go to Berkeley.
I heard San Diego is really
San
nice.
Diego's lovely, too.
I got to find a way to afford to live there.
Yeah, no, right. Your apartment would be like...
$3,000.
I was going to say $3,700 a month.
Yeah. And that's getting to be this apartment here is that price.
No.
So, well, no. I'm exaggerating, but it creeps up every time.
Yeah, right. I'm guessing about $1,300 or something, right?
You'd be surprised. I've actually paid $650 for this place.
That's all.
I got a really good deal, though.
Is it one bedroom?
One bedroom, yeah.
Okay.
I was looking just in case, you know, the Zillow to see what's out there.
Right.
I think studios are going for $750 now.
No, you've got a great deal here. Yeah. This is terrific.
You know,
I wouldn't go anywhere if I were you.
I lived in a place catty corner to where I'm at now, like 2 years ago, $475.
Man.
And it was a dumperoo. Let me tell you, it was horrific, but it was so cheap.
Let me ask you something. How long have you lived here?
In St. Peter, this building.
No, this building.
February would be 2 years.
Oh, 2 years, all right. And now, did you come straight from your parents' house?
I moved here, I moved in with my girlfriend at the time. This was 6 years ago. I'm 31. I'll be 32 this year.
Oh, my goodness.
So I look a little younger.
I'm telling you. I was going to say 20. I don't want to insult you.
No, that's okay.
No,
I love it. That's great.
I thought you were 21.
Yeah, thank you. I love that.
Really?
When I'm 41, I'm going to look like I'm 31.
Not
look
bad.
Out, ladies.
Not bad,
that's all I
man.
Can tell you.
Get down
trick
with
some of these women.
Self.
Yeah.
So what happened, though? Your girlfriend, she moved out?
She's dead. No, I'm just kidding. She's alive. It was just, you know, young love, how it comes and goes.
Oh, yes, of course, right. Yeah. Right.
But I'm happy to be just on my own.
No, it's good. It's great. You can just come home, cook Brussels sprouts, and go crazy.
Get nude, cook them nude. That's what I usually tend to do.
I could tell the listening audience, he was cooking some Brussels sprouts in here.
I tried to light a candle, but it didn't really work out.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. If you like cabbage, this is the place to be.
This is the place for you. That's true. That's true. I'm a big fan of Brussels sprouts.
No,
what can I tell you?
You know, I love them myself, to tell you the truth, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know... You just definitely got to get a fan or something going on.
Well, soon I'll be able to open the windows and, you know, get the air through. It's almost that time.
It is, isn't it? What? Yeah. Don't tell me you don't have air. You have air conditioning.
I have an air conditioner. I don't have central heat in there, but I do own one air conditioner that's in my bedroom. Yes. So it keeps that cool at least.
You sure you're not 21?
I'm positive. I live that way. But no, I'm a real adult person.
Okay. Did you go to school here in St.
I did.
Pete?
I went to Largo High School, and then I went to USF here.
Great.
I graduated in 2011.
Right.
So, and I started college in 2003, and I graduated in 2011. And I am not a doctor.
No.
That's what you were wondering.
No, I wasn't even wondering.
Yes, I figured.
Did I have that look on my face like I was wondering if you were a doctor?
Well, you had the doctor on your book.
I explain it, you know, in the book. I talk about it a little bit, you know, because I don't want people to think I'm a proctologist or something, you know, because then I wouldn't be able to write, you know. I'd be sticking my fingers where they don't belong.
Does that? But that bugs me whenever I see doctor, and I'm like, I assume medical doctor. Off the bat.
Oh, no, right.
But that's usually not the case. They're doctors in literature. I'm like, get out of here. You're not a doctor. They should find some other title.
I know. Well, once you get the PhD, you're on your way, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I got a MPV, I think it is. You know, so,
what does that stand for?
That stands for the Marine Park Vigilantes.
And what college, what university did this come from?
This is from the University of Hard Knocks.
I knew it. I knew that was coming.
You knew it was coming. I saw that coming down Main Street, didn't you?
My mom always uses that phrase. So tell me about comedy in the 80s in California.
Oh, you know what? It was great because I started out with rest his soul, Robin Williams was a friend of mine.
Yeah, he lived
out
there, didn't he? That's right. Was he from San Francisco?
Yeah, well, he was originally from Minnesota, I think, or something that, you know. All but and ended up in Juilliard for a while and then made his way out to San Francisco, and that became his home, know. But, yeah, I know I did the comedy circuit, you know, for years and years and years. It was really fun.
Back then it was anybody could kind of make a living doing comedy.
Oh, absolutely.
It was
a comedy club on every corner.
Yeah. Right.
It's great, man.
What do you think that changed?
I don't know. But at first, you know, it was great. You get paid, which was nice. And then you get dinner and they put you up and everything. After a while, you're lucky if you got a white wine.
Yeah. You know? I was listening to some podcast. I think it was Bert Kreischer's. And he was talking about his guest. Was talking about how she wasn't allowed to order off the headliner menu.
She had
to go to the second tier.
That's right.
How bad it is.
That's so funny. That's the way it is. It's been that way for a long time. They give you a menu and they say you can't order on this side. It's only the burger side, you know. Forget about a steak, you know. You're done. Stick a fork in you, man, and go and do your comedy boy.
So have you been, all throughout the country doing stand-up?
Everywhere, man, yes. I was a road warrior. You know,
roadie.
I talk about it in the book. I open the book with an essay about being on the road and getting off the road, and it's kind of fun, you know. It's good. It was a great life, and it was. I'm glad I did it. And sometimes I think I'd like to get back again, but then I go, nah, I don't think so, man.
Is it kind of a young man's game?
It is a young man's game. You've got to be, you know, you're always someplace else. You never know where you're. And sometimes, sometimes, it was one time I took a plane from Pocatello, Idaho to L.A., and then the next day I was across the country. Who was my manager? That's the first thing I'd like to know. But then I ended up taking a train from, I ended up in Rhode Island. And when I got on stage, I said, you know, hey, it's great to be here in Vermont. Classic, you know. And some guy yelled at me and said, hey, buddy, you're in Rhode Island, you know.
Jeez, that is a gruff old guy.
I said, excuse me, Mom, you know, I'll do the jokes if you don't mind.
So what do you, well, you said you miss it. Sometimes you think about going back and doing it again. I was watching this documentary, I Am Road Comic, which just talks about life on the road for comedians. Mm-hmm. And they interview all these people. And most of them seem to hate it. It's kind of a lonely life.
It is a lonely life, right. You know, and you know, I was never the type of comedian where, you know, I do a set and then I hang out. And then the next thing I know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and people are coming over to my hotel and motel, and we're hanging. I was never like that. I did a set, and then I went back to be alone in the motel room, you know.
Order a pizza, watch some free HBO.
Right. That was it, you know.
So do you ever do comedy around here?
No, I haven't. Oh, I did. I did around here. I don't know, on the beach. You know, I used to work for Coconuts around here.
Oh, sure.
They're still in business, right?
Yeah.
I did all that there for years and years. I worked in Florida and the Caribbean quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But I've worked all over the country, just back and forth and up and down the country. It's great, you know. But, you know, like you said earlier, it's a young man's game, you know. And so after a while, it was like, uh-oh. Oh, I almost said the F word. Freak this.
Some comics were saying you don't even need to do it anymore. You go to a big city, you get into the scene, you become a killer in a bigger city, and then you worry people will find you, was his advice.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's, well, you know, people like, you see, like Seinfeld, for example, you know, he still does like 20 shows a year or something, but, you know, they get picked up in a limo and they're brought to a beautiful hotel.
Right.
You know, they
Five
go
star.
Swimming and they've got a hot tub. You know, I was lucky, like I said, if I got the one white wine.
So in the book, you got a story about what's been your worst experience doing, and your best. We'll do that, too. Your best and worst.
Well, you know what? I started out, I did the open mics, and some people will remember the other cafe in San Francisco. And I was so frightened. I had such stage fright. I was like the poster boy for stage fright, you know. And I was so frightened that I thought, I only get 5 minutes of material, but I'm going to forget everything as soon as I get up there, you know. So a friend of mine said, why don't you put a wire and put your 5 minutes, and it could cue you in your ear. If you and it'll tell you, and then you won't go up on, and you won't know, you'll know what to say, you know. I thought it was a great idea, you know. So, and this is a true story. I took my little 5 minutes. I put on one of those little tiny cassette player, recorder.
Uh-huh.
I stuck it down my pants. I put the wire under my shirt and all the way up to my ear. I put a big floppy hat on with a wig so it covered up everything, you know. And as soon as I jumped on stage, the plug popped out of the recorder in my pants. So then you had, and this is absolutely true, they had the sound of me muffled voice coming from my crotch, you know. I was like, oh, I'm going to tell you about the recovery of Brandon Sanders, you know. And so I stood there like an idiot, you know. Just
people just put the microphone down near your crotch.
Yeah, right, you know.
Stare out.
I said what do I call it? You know, I don't know. I just said that it's a dictaphone, yeah. It's a dictaphone, you know. That was about it. I got one little chuckle, and then they stared at me like trout lying on a bed of ice.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think you can come back from that one.
No,
you have to
tough.
Reach down your pants, turn
right,
off the recorder.
Right.
And then they're like, what are you doing with the recorder, weirdo? And then you're
exactly.
like, well, see, what you should have done is just do the old, you bring a beer up with you, and then you write on a napkin.
Right,
boom.
Right. So. I didn't want to do what a lot of comics were doing, you know, where they got little cards and they look at them. I thought that was so unprofessional.
It is,
you know?
It is.
But it was worse having them.
That's more unprofessional.
Coming from my crotch, you know. And, you know, people would just, they were like looking at me like, get off. Get the hell off, you know. I was almost going to say get that off again, you know. So
did you, I mean, you started with Robin Williams. Did he ever give you any advice, any words of wisdom from some of these major
he
comics?
He did, as a matter of fact. He said, get off. No, you know, it's like you pay your dues after a while, you know, you just keep going up. It's like anything else. If you got a knack for it, you know, if you got the if it's inside intrinsically in you, you end up doing okay.
That's true. I've been running this mic just ended. I was running it for 2 years, and the day after our 2 year anniversary, the venue said, yeah, we're going to cancel it.
Oh, man.
So it was a bummer. But
just when you got comfortable.
Yeah, I know. But that's a long time for
that
a mic.
Is.
I mean, open mics, independent mics run maybe six
right.
months, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So, but I've noticed, you know, the people that started coming to mine, were a lot of them were really bad. And now they're just kind of bad. They've gotten better over time. And it is just that repetition.
So you're not doing it anymore.
Well, I got a few rooms. I got a couple in the works, but right now I'm not doing I was doing Sly Bar, and I'm not doing that one anymore. Mm. We were having Yard of Ale, too, down here, right downtown on Thursday nights. Football season came along, Thursday night football. That's
yeah,
it. They
right,
canned
right.
us. They said they're going to bring us back, so we'll see.
Yeah, but. Yeah. It's a tough game, you know? It's a tough game, but it's fun. It really is fun. Did you ever try it yourself?
I have. I think I'm okay at it, but I don't have the passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I see the guys that come to the open mics that are there 4 or 5 nights a week is what
right.
you need to be doing.
Exactly.
I want to be a radio guy and sit in the air-conditioned right. studio, and that's right. what I think I'm better right. at.
This is you do a great job, I tell you. This is fun, too.
Thanks,
it's
man.
Really, really fun, you know?
Appreciate it.
It's good. You're definitely good at it, and keep moving forward.
That's all you got to do. I was right. saying in the intro, my boss at the radio station, he's the promotions manager, said... yeah, your podcast isn't good, but he's one of these guys that busts your chop. And I was like, oh, really? You listened to it? And then, so either he didn't want to admit that he listened to it or didn't and was just trying to bust my chops, and he went, no. So I was like, well, and I should have, well, which one is it?
Right.
Is it not good, or did you just bust a bunch of
That's ridiculous,
shit?
Isn't it? How can you critique it if you haven't listened to it?
I don't know. But
I don't think he likes you, just for the hell of it.
Radio is a hazing thing. It's like being in the military. They haze you really bad.
They do, don't they?
They want to make sure you're going to stick it out and stick around.
Until you're in it for quite a few years, and then you make the big bucks, like $150 a week.
Yeah, exactly. You might make your $33,000 a year for working your afternoon shift. Hey, I'm praying for it.
If it's what you love to do, though, that's really all that matters, isn't it?
It is. Being happy.
I don't want to get all spiritual, but, you know, Buddha said, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
That's right. Nice. And I want to work I work really hard now. I have my three jobs so I can be lazy later and work my 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then
you got
go
a plan.
Home.
You're a man with a plan.
That's right. Get it all the way now. Well, I have the energy.
Yeah, you got the plan going. You're a man with the plan.
So we got J.M. Chamberlain on the Homemade Broadcast this week. He's just released the book, I'm Okay, You're a Pain in the Ass.
A love story.
So where's the love story come in?
Absolutely nowhere. I just thought it sounded funny. I said, you know, what the hell, you know? It sounds funny to me, and, like, you know, it's different. And so people, you know, people are buying it like crazy, man, you know? It's like, it's going like hotcakes. If we could just get it to sell like a book instead of hotcakes, we'd really have something going, you know?
Is it available on Amazon?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And we have a website, too. It's called People Need to Laugh. Calm.
That's very true. Barnes and Noble too,
right?
Yeah. Did they have bookstores anymore?
Yeah, they do. I did a book signing last week.
Really?
Where was that? St. Pete. I was here. That's right. See, that's what I mean. I don't even know where
today I learned there's a Barnes and Noble in St. Pete. I thought all bookstores were gone.
No, they're happening. Actually, sounds ridiculous, but reading is coming back.
Whoa. You know what I've been doing? The books on tape.
Oh, right.
Or the books on podcast, I guess.
That's what I'm doing with this. This is going on to audiobooks.
Audiobook, right.
All right. Doing that. And I have another book coming out called Life Doing Its Thing.
Mm-hmm. What's that one about?
It's about my transition. I started out when I was a kid in New York. I was living in New York for a while, and I was a horse and carriage driver, you know, in Central Park.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I talk about that, and then
Jesus, how old are you?
I'm old, man.
I'm 140.
There were no cars, just horses and carriages. Yeah, right. No, I just drive the horse and carriage, roll 'em, keep them doggies rolling, right.
So that book's about your time in New York as a carriage driver
and then leaving New York and coming out to California.
And when's that supposed to come out?
That should be out in about another 2 months.
2 months? Are you done with it? Are you just getting it proofread?
It's almost finished. Mm-hmm. It's almost done.
Almost a few more pages to go. That's always the hardest part. Right. The home stretch.
Do you write?
I do, actually. I write for Suburban Apologist. I cover, you know, comedy. I'm not doing... Wait, I get confused. Is it nonfiction means it's real, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm doing nonfiction. I've never dabbled into fiction.
Right. That's what this book is. I'm Okay, A Pain in the Ass. It's nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in here is absolutely true.
You're laughing. Maybe embellished a little bit.
A couple of wild embellishments.
So how long does it take you to write? I mean, this isn't a small book. This is, what is it, 193 pages here?
A couple of hundred pages. It's a labor of love.
How long does it take to write a book like this?
Well, I don't know, about 5 years, I think I was writing this.
Whoa.
Yeah. I started out just, you know, writing some essays and getting them in magazines and periodicals and stuff like that. And then I made this compilation together. So it all together really took about a year or so, you know.
Oh, okay. That seems about right.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't be able to take a break. Meaning, if I was going to write a book, I would have to do it every day. For like 6 months or something like that. If I put something down, I'm never coming back to it.
Yeah.
Have you had that problem?
I love to write. I love to write. And I do exactly what you just said. And the time flies. It just goes by. You know, I'll sit down at the keyboard. And next thing I know, it's like 3 hours are gone. 4 hours, 5 hours. Literally. You know, yeah. I look at the clock and I go, oh my God, I've been in here for 4 hours without standing up.
Where do you write? What's your motif? Do you go to a coffee shop or do you just do it at home?
No, just do it at home. Just do it mostly at home.
It's hard to work at home, especially with writing stuff. I have to go somewhere else. Too many distractions at home.
Well, it's too many. The Brussels sprouts.
The smell alone.
Brussels sprouts drive you to a cafe.
Tickles the tip of your brain. I know.
Yeah, no, it's I can write anywhere, but I just go into my little office and take care of business wherever I am. I've been able to do that. I did write when I was on the road. You know, and go back to my lonely motel.
There's nothing else to do. Yeah,
I wasn't gonna bite him.
What is that from? What is that from?
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. That's right.
The Cowardly
Lion. I thought
Lion.
It was.
I wasn't gonna bite him.
I thought it was Of Mice and Men for a second. I thought you were doing the slow fella.
No, I think it was it's a Cowardly Lion. I wanted to do an X-rated version of The Wizard of Oz, but I can't do it on this radio station.
It's true, yeah. Sorry about that. Did you have it all planned out, too, and you're all ready?
Well,
and...
you know, I just go off the mark there, so to speak.
So you do acting, too, right?
Right. Right.
So what have you been in? I know I was reading your biography. You've been in some big stuff.
I've been in some big stuff, mostly in the 80s and late 80s, 90s, because I lived in L.A., you know, lived in L.A. for a while and did a lot of stuff in San Francisco, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just got off the road, like I said, doing stand-up in between and then doing some films and movies, and then I just started writing.
What's your advice for a young writer? If you could, now that you got a book under your belt and another one coming.
Right. My advice would be, don't do it.
That's what everybody, they just don't want the competition. Do it, folks. Do it, folks.
Go get a normal job. Take care of your family.
J.M. Chamberlain, I'm okay. You're a pain in the ass. A love story. Thank you very much for coming in.
You can
find it on Amazon. Do you have Twitter, social media, website plugs?
Yes. All people need to laugh.com.
Twitters?
And I don't know.
All right, I'll find it. If you do, send it to me and we'll put it in the description.
All right, great.
Thank you very much for coming in.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Will. Terrific. Love.
All right, there you go. J.M. Chamberlain, British man, comedian, author. I don't think he was really British. I'm not sure. He had a really good American accent if he was actually a British man. Thank you very much for coming in, J.M., new friend, writer, comedian. This has been the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for HMB, Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, Tampa Bay. And you should just pull right up. Even HMB Radio should do it. Facebook.com/HMB Radio. Home_made_man on Twitter. Follow me on there to keep up to date with comedy events. Got a comedy show, I think, next week at the Loft that I need to prepare for. It really snuck up on me. That's the problem with having all these jobs, is time just flies by. We're almost in 2017, folks. 2017. Is that crazy? No, it's time. It's how the world works. Yes, I know. Thank you. I realize that. All right, you all have a fantastic week. I don't know who's coming in next week, but I'll find somebody. Been just reaching out a few days before. Luckily, everybody's been able to come in, so... Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it. I got the numbers from last week's from Joe, and they were great. So if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show, followed by the Indie Circuit. And if you're listening on a podcast, thanks for listening. Make sure you rate and subscribe. It only takes a minute. Really helps the show. Will Koontz, Homemade Broadcast. See you next week.